Am I not on the air now? Sorry, we had a technical malfeasance there, guys. I suddenly couldn't hear the studio in D.C. There was just nothing there. Okay, fine. Anyway, welcome. Did I say anything that compromised the...
Yes, you said you used the F word, all kinds of things, talking the F, F, F.
Well, I can only hope that we... Well, if I didn't dump it, it wasn't... If it wasn't dumped, it wasn't dumped. I apologize, folks. We are remote from our locale in... one of our locales, and so I could not hear what was happening. It was an it's been an intermittent line, so there you go.
Well, it sounds like something that needs to get fixed.
It will be. Don't worry about it. It will be, or I'll just jump off a bridge someplace. Target says 40 million credit and debit card accounts may be affected by a data breach that occurred just as the holiday shopping season shifted into high gear. The chain said customers who made purchases by swiping their cards at terminals in its U.S. stores between November the 27th and December the 15th may have had their accounts exposed. The stolen data includes customer names, credit and debit card numbers, card expiration dates, and the three-digit security codes located on the back of the cards. The data breach did not affect online purchases, the company said. The stolen information included Target store brand cards and major brand names such as Visa and MasterCard.
So, in other words, it doesn't matter what card you used, it might... Now, how is it stolen?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Target's first priority is preserving the trust of our guests, and we have moved swiftly to address this issue so guests can shop with confidence. We regret any inconvenience this may cause. Well, you're going to get sued, pal. You regret any inconvenience? Get ready. Get the lawyers geared up, because that's the name of the game. This is the statement made by their president and CEO, Greg Steinhafel, on Thursday. The Minneapolis company said it immediately told authorities and financial institutions once it became aware of the breach and that it is teaming with a third-party forensics firm to investigate and prevent future breaches. The company said it's putting all appropriate resources toward the issue. Target Corporation advised customers to check their statements carefully. Those who see suspicious charges on a card should report it to their credit card companies and call Target and they, you know, give a number here.
Well, what do you mean it's a lawsuit?
That's the first thing that's that ought to happen. If I get my card, if anything gets compromised in terms of my credit card while I'm using it at Target, of course I'm going to sue them. And don't give me this bull crap about how it's frivolous. No, it ain't. You know.
Well, there are an awful lot of very frivolous lawsuits, Phil, and...
What's frivolous about me getting my credit information, the security code on my credit card, my home address and everything else? What's frivolous about that?
Well, there's too many of these kinds of lawsuits where people are complaining and crying.
Yeah, what are you crying about?
Are you guys out of your minds or something?
What we're talking about, Phil, here are these lawsuits that are jamming the legal system.
Yeah, no, I understand about lawsuits jamming the legal system. I get it about that. I might even agree with you about the old lady that sued McDonald's. That's the one that everybody brings up. By the way, that old lady suing McDonald's, you know...
What did she sue McDonald's for?
The old lady that sued McDonald's for the hot water?
I don't recall that. What was that?
The hot coffee.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
The woman that was scalded with hot... Oh, God, what was her problem?
Wait a minute. That lawsuit was absolutely right on the money. I don't see anything frivolous about that.
Are you putting me on? Why, everyone knows that was the very definition of frivolous.
No, it isn't. If you give somebody a hot liquid that is at scalding temperatures, that is a hazard, and you're putting that into a person's hand, say, here you go. Thanks for shopping at McDonald's. Here's something that can scar you for life. Thank you. Bye.
Well, why didn't she test the... She should pour it out on the cement or something.
That's what I would do, General. If I bought a hot cup of coffee, the first thing I'd do is pour it out on the cement.
Well, you can taste test it, can't you?
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, if it's scalding hot.
Well, I don't know, Phil. I've purchased many a hot cup of coffee in my day.
Have you ever purchased a cup of coffee so hot that if you spilled it on your flesh, it scarred you for life? It was a third-degree burn. You know what scalding hot is? That's what this lady had in her car. That's why she filed a lawsuit, and I think it was and how it ever became symbolic of frivolous gives you an idea as to how brainwashed consumers are. Consumers are so brainwashed that they think, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to sue about a cup of coffee. So a company can basically put anything into your hands that they want to. They can put any kind of dangerous... any kind of a dangerous product, dangerous quantity of coffee, or anything, maybe even poison. Why not? What the hell?
Poison? What has that got to do with anything?
Well, look, I mean, if you are so, you know, if you're so cavalier with the safety of your customers that you're giving them scalding hot liquids, why not just, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, we didn't know that bleach got poured into the, you know, into the French fry mix or whatever the hell. So why can't they make that claim? Gee, you know, it comes with the territory. Scalding hot coffee. Occasionally, you know, you're going to get some rat turds in the hamburger meat.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Hey, why not? Why not? So that's what that was about. Now you have Target saying, geez, we really regret this. Well, you're going to regret it a lot more because I got news for you. That's a perfectly good lawsuit. Of course you're going to sue them. Of course there's frivolous lawsuits. I get it. But no way. This Jack Ball can hire all the forensic people he wants. It happened, and so now he's got a whole bunch of customers that are going to be really unhappy. The company said during its earnings call in November that as of October, some 20% of store customers have Target-branded calls. 20%. This holiday season, Target added other incentives. But that's just 20% having the Target-branded card. They also have regular Visa cards. They have regular MasterCards. It isn't just the Target card. It's the other brand-name cards, as this guy mentioned. They advise customers to check their statements carefully. Those who see suspicious charges on the cards, yeah, like if you have a, say you see a charge from Target that's for like $9,000.
Yeah, it's like in Speedos.
Yeah, somebody bought $9,000 worth of a men's Speedo swimsuits. You know you got a problem. So there you go, folks. That's it. This is how Target is getting more customers in their stores, said Brian Sozzi, CEO of Chief Equities. It's telling people to use the card. It's been a big win. If they lose that trust, those people go to Walmart. If I don't go to Target, I don't go to Walmart.
Where do you go?
I go to CVS. Now, I...
Well, you're kidding me, man. You go to Target, it's got clothes. You're going to go to CVS. What are you going to buy there?
You can buy nice clothing at CVS, you know, flip-flops and stuff like that. I just forget it. I won't even buy clothes. I'll go and... I'll go and get an ice cream cone at CVS. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Do you buy your clothes at Target?
A lot of them, yeah.
You got to be putting me on. You are a celebrity, Phil. You're in the public eye, and you buy your clothes at Target. Woo!
Yeah, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, what's big, so what?
You buy your clothes at Target like what?
Shirts, pants, everything. You better believe I buy my clothes at Target. Let me tell you something, man. The day and age of throwing money away, that's gone. Long gone, baby. Those days are history. I ain't throwing nothing away now, man. If I want to spend my money on something, I'm going to spend my money on buying a nice house or maybe getting the house remodeled, doing something that's, you know, it's going to last a long time. You think I'm going to throw my money away on clothes? And that's why I went from owning a Jaguar to a Land Rover. I'm saving $300 a month in the car payment. Who needs it, you know?
Well, but the Jaguar was a chick magnet. And
No, I didn't. If I did, I was wrong.
Yeah, that's what you said.
No, I didn't. And anyway, I don't care anymore, man. I need the Land Rover. I need all that cargo space. I need a truck. I need four-wheel drive. I want to be able to... I got to get up mountain roads. I have to get into snow. In case I'm called into combat, I've got to be able to transport troops. Screw the Jaguar. It was a great car while it lasted. It was a great car, and it lasted a long time. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back and find out what exactly happened at the top of the hour when I was there. Was probably like, what, 15 minutes of dead air or something?
I don't know. You're going to have to talk to Nikki about what happened. And if those F-words got out, have a care.
We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Of course, I could ask my audience, you know. How many seconds was there dead air there at the top of the hour, folks? Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Phil Hendry Show, I could ask Johnny Bean. He won't steer me wrong. Johnny, if you're out there...
Well, you can't expect Johnny Bean to be listening to this garbage every night, and I say that with great respect, Phil.
No, no, you don't say that with great respect.
You can't expect Johnny Bean to be listening to the garbage every night.
I'm going to start swinging on people. It'll just be a wild fist-throwing melee here in a second. You can't expect Johnny Bean... All right, welcome back to the show. Yeah, well, we had a what happened was this, just in case if you're curious, and I was, I have a line that allows me to listen to our master control studio, and it was absolutely, it was gone. I couldn't hear anything until Nikki calls me, and she says, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "I can't hear anything." So the line's obviously, it was a compromised line, and I do apologize for that. Larry Lujack, famous Chicago disc jockey, passed on overnight, I think. It was Thursday, the news was reported. That is today here on the West Coast and yesterday for you guys back east. He was an immensely popular Chicago radio personality whose sarcasm, grumpiness, and sense of humor was unlike anything listeners had heard and who influenced some of today's best-known broadcasters. He has died at the age of 73. Lujack's wife, Judith, said Thursday that he died of esophageal cancer at their Santa Fe home. She said he was diagnosed last January, and his health started to deteriorate dramatically in September. Though Lujack's name may not be familiar today, a quarter century after his 20-year run at WLS Radio and the former WCFL AM, it would be tough to understand just how big he once was. The star of a massive radio station with listeners all over the state and beyond, Lujack joked, bellyached, and criticized his way through shows in a manner that has become ubiquitous among today's radio personalities.
What's that mean, ubiquitous?
It means just everywhere, you know.
And so was he the father of the shock jock, you know?
Oh, the shock jock. Now I reckon, is that what he was?
I wouldn't say Larry Lujack was a shock jock. No, not at all. Not at all. No way. I would say that Larry Lujack was one of the last of the, you know, what do you call it? The bad boy kind of, the cute, the, you know, rascally kind of guy, but not overtly shock jock. He was a sarcastic guy. He had great pipes. He was a part of a generation of broadcasters that were more hip than they were sarcastic. They were more about the rock and roll and the lifestyle. But Lujack was a very, very famous in that. Look at this national press he got. Nobody from LA radio that has passed on in the last 20 years has gotten quite this kind of. Although maybe, I don't know, did Don Steele?
Oh, the real Don Steele was amazing, but I don't think it was the same thing, was it? The same kind of show?
Real Don Steele was the epitome of the disc jockey, with timing, with a good line, with a couple of drops, but constant hitting of the post. I never heard a guy hit a post like the real Don Steele. By post, we mean when you talk up to the beginning of the vocal. Bud, why don't you give me something and...
Can I do it?
Can you do what?
Can I demonstrate on a post?
Yes, you can demonstrate the post. Go ahead. Here's Bud.
Hi. Bud Dickman Show on K... Well, like, what's the station?
If I got to go through this with you, Bud...
Just give him a station, Phil.
All right, K-crap. How about that?
K-crap?
Well, what do you want me to say, man? Just do what a disc jockey... Show people what it is to hit the post.
All right. Bud Dickman here, playing something. This is gay. What is this?
Turn it off.
What do you do, man? You'll say it's gay. If you play the music, you'll say it's good.
What?
You play that song, man, you'll say it's gay.
You don't badmouth the music you're playing.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Don't you point your finger at the guy and everything?
Yeah, in the old days when you had an engineer? Yeah, you... Okay, here. No.
I didn't point at you yet.
Bud, I'm going to kick you out of this studio right out into the street when that van comes by.
Sorry.
Would you morons get this over with so I can continue some of the questions that I have about Mr. Lujack?
Fine. Go ahead, Bud.
I'm going to talk it up and hit a post. That's what Mr. Henry wanted me to do.
You're going to hit a post?
Yeah.
Well, do it, man.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's 2 minutes after 12 o'clock on the Bud Dickman Show. Man, it's going to be 20, and the weather's going to be, and it's going to be partly cloudy, And we're giving away $1 million every hour on K-Crap Radio, and now Toto with Africa on K-Crap Radio, and we're giving away $1 million.
I hear the drums echoing.
See, and that's how you do it.
That's not bad, Bud. That's good.
What is it? That's the worst I've ever heard in my life. Are you kidding?
He's just demonstrating. But you have to hit the post, and Don Steele and guys like him. But Larry Lujack, Larry was nationally known. He was on a very, very powerful radio station. WLS had a big-ass signal. At WCFL, also had a monster signal. Now, I read the book that he wrote called Super Jock, and he told the story of when he left WCFL, and I think he was going to WLS, but he was leaving WCFL. Maybe he was leaving Chicago radio. I read this book in 77, so I don't know what happened, but he wasn't going to be on the air. And so he said, this is an example of what the jocks used to do in the old days. It was they used to just do these cool little promotional teases. He said, all right, coming up on, you know, April whatever, when I finally leave the air here on WLS, I'm going to tell you which station I endorse, which radio station I want you to listen to. And everyone is thinking, oh, my God, Larry Lujack is leaving the state, and he's going to endorse one of the rival stations, you know, in Chicago. He says, remember, coming up now, we're only 2 weeks away. I'm going to tell you which station to listen to. And he did this for, you know, 2 weeks until finally on the last day, he said, now I'm going to announce which station you should listen to. And everyone's thinking he's going to endorse a competing station in Chicago, which, of course, is not going to sit well with the people he's leaving. And he said, I recommend that you listen to KHJ Los Angeles. See?
What's that?
What was that?
Don't give me the what was that, Margaret. You know very well what it was.
Oh, KHJ Los Angeles. Yes.
What's that mean?
In other words, he didn't tell them to listen to a Chicago station. He recommended another station in another city in another state. Which, by the way, he did because some people theorize he was looking to land a gig at KHJ at that time. And I don't know. But I thought it was a... never mind.
That must be something that, like, your age group would understand.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. Something my age group would understand. Anyway, Larry Lujack, the point is, said Robert Feeder, a longtime Chicago media writer who now has a blog, the point is that with all top 40 disc jockeys, these high-energy guys with their fake effervescence, cheerfulness, he was the first one to be real. He paved the way for a new style of radio that followed, and everyone who became a real personality owes it in some way to Larry Lujack. Among those personalities, Rush Limbaugh, wrote Paul D. Colford in his 1993 book, The Rush Limbaugh Story, Talent on Loan from God. He said that Lujack was the only person that he ever copied, wrote Colford, who's the director of media relations for the Associated Press, but who wrote the book while working as a media columnist for Newsday. Limbaugh's dramatic on-air pauses and his tendency to refer to himself in the third person are things that Lujack did years before he did, according to the book. While David Letterman was a college student in Indiana, he would get out of bed early enough to tune into Lujack and partner Tommy Edwards and listen to the popular animal stories, Colford wrote, concluding that he had no doubt the radio segment influenced Letterman's stupid pet tricks. So,
well, he had a lot of influence. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Larry Lujack influencing people. And so the whole kind of sarcastic bad boy thing is, you know, what we're talking about. After moving to afternoons in 1986, Lujack's ratings dropped and he left WLS the next year when the parent company ABC bought out his contract. There were a couple of comebacks in Chicago broadcasting from a Santa Fe home, but he never achieved the kind of popularity he'd had earlier. Lujack has received numerous awards and honors, including induction to the National Radio Hall of Fame and the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Now, what is the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame?
I don't know. You're the one that's in radio.
Well, you guys are, too.
I think that's the one that's... I don't know.
The National Radio Hall of Fame was the one that lost all the credibility when they inducted that clown. Robeson? Dobson?
Oh, James Dobson.
Yeah. So when they did that, there wasn't anybody who wanted to have anything to do with that. The National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame... I thought the only people they inducted into that were station owners.
Phil, you know, I'm trying to get you to see the error of your ways because you're going to wind up, you're going to piss off somebody at the top.
All right, we'll be back and continue to piss off somebody at the top here. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Piss off somebody at the top.
That's what I do, man. There was now or never. He made her feel so sick. It's a Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and welcome back. So, this guy from Duck Dynasty, don't know if you've seen the show. I have to be honest with you. I haven't. And I don't feel like, you know, I can't watch everything. I'm on at night. And you know what? I got other stuff that I got to do. I can either watch Duck Dynasty or I can read the Abraham Lincoln assassination trial transcripts because it's basically the same people.
What do you mean?
Well, they're talking to a bunch of dumbasses. Seriously, they're talking to a whole bunch of dumbasses about something that happened. And it looks to me like watching Duck Dynasty is watching a whole bunch of dumbasses doing stuff. Now, anyway, but what brought this guy to our attention, and maybe yours, were these comments that he made to GQ magazine. He said the thing about gay people and okay, you know, whatever. And now he's made comments about black folks. Now, check this out. He said he never saw any mistreatment of black people. He said blacks in the South, pre-entitlement and pre-welfare, they were godly, they were happy, no one was singing the blues. This is coming from about as rednecky looking a white guy. And here's the sad part about this. If you think this guy's alone, folks, all you got to do is go on Facebook and take a look at the passel, just the herd of mentally challenged people that are just signing up to say, right on, and you're just so great. And, of course, when you wade into the middle of those idiots, they'll tell you, there's a lot of black people that agree with us, too. And they'll point out, like, three black people that somehow hit the like button, maybe by mistake, maybe on purpose, maybe just because they want to piss off a bunch of other black people. I don't know.
Well, what did this idiot say now?
Phil Roberts, well, you just heard this. He said pre-entitlement and pre-welfare. So before black people got welfare and all that entitlement stuff, according to this white redneck, well, hell, they were godly, which means that they did not engage probably in ungodly things. What would that be? Drug use and...
Bobby, listen to the blues.
Listening to the blues and hip-hop, yeah. Although they might have been listening to the blues, and they might have invented the blues, they weren't singing it, according to this gentleman. Now, I know, as insane as this sounds, as incredible as it sounds, there's people listening to me right now, white people, who are just absolutely livid and pissed off at me for not understanding where Phil Robertson's coming from. They just can't understand what you're saying, Phil. Are you kidding, Phil? Don't you get what he's saying, Phil? And I say, well, look, that's good because at least, you know, we're having a dialogue. White people need to talk to each other about this stuff. But whites don't need to lecture blacks because we've done that, and we wouldn't know our ass from a hole in the ground about how to talk. We need to talk to each other. So I can look at another white guy in the face like this guy Robertson and tell him, brother, you may shoot me for what I'm about to say to you, but you couldn't be dumber if you were raised in a lab, you know, if you were conceived in a petri dish and we purposely put too much alcohol in the mix or something, you know, you couldn't be made dumber than you are right now.
What do you mean? I mean, I got the whole thing.
Said this Jack Ball. He's 67, so this guy definitely saw the same things I saw on television as a kid and then some. He saw the fire hoses getting turned on black people. He saw the dogs being unleashed on black people. He saw, at the age of 67, he's 6 years older than me. So that when I was a 10-year-old boy watching the March on Washington, he was 16. So he was fully conscious and fully aware of all the major news events, the whole thing that happened on the bridge, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the fire hoses, the dogs, the murder of Dr. King, the boycotts in various cities. He saw it all. And I guess what in his mind, he was thinking, well, that's just a bunch of blacks that are a little unhappy. At rank and file, they're all really happy. It's when those commies came in, you know.
Well, that's what they thought was a bunch of communists, you know.
Yeah, they think the commies come in?
Yeah, man. J. Edgar Hoover thought the communists come in and started the whole thing.
That's it. That's exactly what a lot of these people thought. Oh, well, our blacks, used to call them our blacks, you know. Our blacks are happy. It's just when the commies came in. Now, as laughable as that is, and that became so laughable, and, you know, basically J. Edgar Hoover, unfortunately, who should have had a much better legacy, he was a joke by the time he died. He had become a joke by the time he died because of two things. his insistence on the communist movement in America inspiring the civil rights movement and pushing it forward, which is utter, that's like saying, well, then thank you, Communist Party, because I guess you're the only ones that realized there was a horrible disparity in everything from public accommodation to voting rights between whites and blacks. So I guess we have the communists to thank for making us aware of that. Is that what you tell me? Then the other thing was he thought it was the communists that inspired the civil rights movement, and he ignored the existence of organized crime, Italian American organized crime, ad infinitum, ethnic, if you will, organized crime in America. Totally didn't think it existed. Those are the two things that became the legacy of J. Edgar Hoover, which made him into, as I said, at the time of his death, a sort of a national joke, when he should have had a far, far better send-off than that. I mean, he was the preeminent law enforcement officer of the country. He modernized law enforcement. He was the man that really formed the FBI and gave the FBI its sort of charter and its direction. But because he was almost congenitally stupid when it came to this stuff, you know, it's unbelievable. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If I'm talking law enforcement, that's the guy that we go to, not because Jay necessarily knows anything, but because it's always entertaining to talk to him. How you doing, Jay?
Well, I don't know. After an intro like that, I'm not really sure how to respond to that, Phil. But
What did you think of J. Edgar Hoover?
Well, I felt J. Edgar Hoover was a good police officer. I was disturbed to find out that he, at the end of his life, or very shortly before the end of his life, there's a piece published, I think, of Vanity Fair, or one of those magazines, where J. Edgar Hoover apparently had gone to some party, and the writer of the piece, I don't know where he got his information, but apparently J. Edgar Hoover had gone to the party and was in some sort of fancy lingerie. I don't know. He's dressed like a lady.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, he's dressed like a lady.
Who is dressed like a lady?
J. Edgar Hoover.
That's the guy that run the America. That's the guy, the FBI?
Yeah, the guy that ran the FBI also liked to go down to these parties. I'm not familiar with them at all. I don't know what they are, but he liked to go down to a lady party, go down to these lady party, where guys go down to be ladies, you know.
Where's that?
I mean, it's everywhere. They had them all over the place. And
well, they were drag queens, right? These
right. J. Edgar Hoover was apparently, according to the article anyway, and he went down with a friend of his named Clyde Colson. They go on down, swing down a few miles south of D.C. to some of these, you know, dress up like a lady.
What do you mean a few miles south of D.C.?
Well, I'm just thinking that wherever these parties took place, they had to be out of town, probably south of town, maybe in the woods or someplace where it's wooded. That's my theory. I'm using my police instinct to figure that out.
Talk about being in a wooded area, yeah.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
I said, Margaret, what I'm talking about.
Well, here, let me just, because I understand Margaret's confusion. J. Edgar Hoover would go to these parties where, drag queen parties.
Not a drag queen, or a guy goes down to pretend he's a lady.
Yeah, goes down. What are you talking, he's going out of town.
I was imagining, if you're J. Edgar Hoover, you're the head of the FBI, and you're going down there with your boyfriend, a gentleman by the name of Clyde Tolson, and you want to dress up like a lady and pretend you're a lady, I don't know what they do at these parties, Phil. I'm sure he would go down and pretend he's the wife or something, put on an apron and pretend like she's cooking dinner, and then the guy who pretends he's the guy who comes home from work. I don't know.
No, that's not what they do. You know, that's not what they do.
Well, how would you know?
Yeah, that's a very good question. How would you know, Phil?
Just from what I've read. I mean, some guys are dressed up like chicks. And it's just their thing, okay? So what's the point we're trying to make here?
Well, you're asking about when they go outside town.
Yeah, what are you saying about them going to a wooded area?
I'm simply saying, Phil, that J. Edgar Hoover probably went out of town. We'd go down to these wooded areas or a wooded enclave or a place where some of these covens, I don't know if you're familiar with witchcraft.
What?
All right, so we're getting way out there.
I don't know. I'm saying that's what I think J. Edgar Hoover done.
Okay, so J. Edgar Hoover went into a wooded area where covens would meet. Only he's dressed in a evening gown.
Yeah, that's correct. But you asked me what I think of J. Edgar Hoover. I thought he was a very good police officer. I agree with you 150%. But I do also agree with you that J. Edgar Hoover did not address the communism problem. But I disagree with you on what his mistake was. I agree with you on a communism. I disagree with you on how he dealt with a communism.
With the what?
The communism.
All right. So how do you think he dealt with communism? That you, I think he put too much emphasis on it.
I don't think he put enough. I think he should have gone into every, again, if this is where J. Edgar Hoover was going to dress up like a lady and pretend she was the wife.
Everybody's going to go nuts listening to you. They didn't go into a wooded glen and then he pretended he was the wife and another guy. In other words, they weren't play acting. You're making it sound like they were 5 years old. These were parties for drag queens. Let's just be, you know, say what we mean, okay?
All right, well, that's fine. But the point is, the communist most likely was meeting in a very similar area. That's why I find it very ironic that J. Edgar Hoover and Clyde Tolson, okay, are going down to Wooded Glen, or maybe not, I don't know, according to you, Phil, but they're in a Wooded Glen, they're pretending they're ladies, and you got a communist probably in the very same, not the same one, but in a similar wooded area. So
I don't know where he's getting, hold on for a minute, where is he getting this stuff?
He's talking about the wooded areas. Well, there's no secret, Phil, you were reading in the Civil War book that many people hid out in the woods.
In the Civil War, yeah. But you're talking about cross-dressing men and communists, or as Jay says, communists.
I really think that you need to have some of these people qualified from their psychiatrists before they're put on the air. I really, really do. I didn't want to say anything, but I think you need these people to submit a note from a psychiatric professional before they're put on the air. That's all I have to say about that.
I disagree.
Well, Phil,
I thought that's all you had to say about it.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue talking here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about J. Edgar Hoover and Duck Dynasty. We were going to talk about Duck Dynasty and these recent thoughts, if you call them that, from Phil Robertson on black people. PhilHenryShow and PhilHenryShow.com. Tomorrow is our final show before a week vacation, but we'll be in touch with all of you via our website, PhilHenryShow.com, so please do join us. Karen Deauville on the line here. We have Jay Sanis from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Karen, how are you doing?
Oh, Phil, we are loving your program tonight. You are making us laugh. And I know that Jerry's here, my brother-in-law, but I just wanted... Herb wants to say hello to you, and we are having a ball listening to you. And I know, Margaret, you want me to get off the phone because I know you don't like me.
It's not that I don't like you. It's just that you repeat yourself.
I know. Here, Jerry.
Hey, Phil, Duck Dynasty program is a very special show for a lot of people. I don't agree with the sentiment of racism, but understand that black people in America... And before they got, no one's saying communist, everybody...
We're going to go, Phil, but thank you very, very much. We're just enjoying the show tonight.
All the black people are here.
Okay, that was great, bud. What was that?
Dentists want to come on here.
Boy, those people, no wonder I don't like her. She's a nervous, chattering, stumbling, muttering...
All right, Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All right, Jay... Go ahead and, but first of all, we got to let people know what the Citizens Auxiliary Police is.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police is I want to say it's a volunteer police force, but that makes it sound, if you'll forgive me, it makes it sound sort of cheap ass. And that's really not, we're not no cheap creep, you know, deal. Plus, you may volunteer to be in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. That doesn't mean we're going to take you. So that right away sort of kicks us up to a higher level than most of your auxiliary police. Secondly, we help the police do their job better by looking over their shoulder. We see where they muff it. We see where they sort of don't, right, you know, get it right. We come in and we kind of clean it up, you know.
Well, what are you cleaning up, you know? That's the thing that I can't understand.
Phil, there's no point in arguing with Jay. We want to get to the essence here of the civil rights movement, and especially this man, Mr. Robertson.
Well, what do you think of this guy, Robertson?
Well, you talk about this guy, Duck Dynasty. That's got nothing to do with me. I'm Citizens Auxiliary Police. If a man wants to talk about somebody, his opinion is, well, blacks got it good. They don't sing the blues. Whatever. I mean, I don't. Yeah, you know, I love the blues. I don't sing the blues. I mean, I like the blues as much as the next guy like the blues. I don't like the blues as much as you do. But what's that got to do with anything? You know?
Well, I just wondered. You were giving an opinion about J. Edgar Hoover. Okay. Thanks a lot, Jay.
But I do want to say.
All right.
Well, that's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You've.
Well, isn't that something? So?
Well, I don't know. I just wondered if you wanted to speak to him further about anything.
He doesn't have anything to say about anything. Jay is, he talked about J. Edgar Hoover. That's all I want to hear him on.
Well, he did give us some background.
On J. Edgar Hoover? Yeah, sure. J. Edgar Hoover got dressed up so he could go down to lady parties in wooded glens and pretend he's some guy's wife. Okay, that was great. And thanks a lot, Jay. I don't know.
Well, that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, it was really great. Okay, so getting back here to Phil Robertson.
I want to say something about Phil Robertson.
Go ahead, Robert.
Number one, Phil Robertson, he talks like a lot of white people talk when they don't want black people to talk. So he is speaking on behalf of black people and saying what we want, what we don't want. Because if he lets a black man talk, the black man going to disagree with him. I don't understand what this guy is saying, these things, speaking on behalf of black people. I'd rather hear a black man talk about how things were than some white redneck, you know.
All right. I agree with you. And, you know, this guy is obviously saying things that he wants the rest of us to believe so that this sort of revisionism can start. And this is where it starts, folks. This is revisionism. This is where they say, no, 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 it wasn't like this. Here's how it was. Even though there are people that remember quite clearly what it was like for black people in the South, and most of them are black. Now, those people are going to come along, and they're going to say, hey, Phil, you stupid imbecile, it wasn't like that. I'm black, and I remember. And he is, and this is the way a lot of whites are, he will be arrogant and dumb enough to say, you're wrong, I'm right. See? I mean, they say that, obviously, slavery created a kind of a warped mindset, maybe, on the part of black people. It didn't do anything less than the same thing to whites. Whites, because of the entitlement, believe themselves so entitled that they can tell a black guy to his face, no, you're remembering it wrong. Here's how it really happened. Can you believe a guy with that kind of arrogance? No wonder people get pissed off. I'd get pissed off.
Well, you said if you were born black, you'd be in jail.
In the face of that kind of arrogance, I would be so angry, I'd probably wind up in jail, yes. So if you look at things straight on and quit looking at these things through the blinders that so many white people look at race relations in America through, and you look at a guy standing there in his camos and his gun and his beard, and he's trying to tell you what it was like for black people pre-civil rights, and he's not black. And a black guy would come along and say to him, you got it wrong. It was bad. It was terrible. We were not happy. We were singing the blues. That dumbass right there in that picture, that Phil Robertson, that guy, because he has that warped white person mentality, would turn around to that person and tell them they're wrong. No, 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 no. You're wrong. I'm right. I'm white, and I remember it better than you. You're bitter, and you don't remember it. And, you know, which is racist, because that's basically saying you're too black to remember it right. But I'm white. Look at how superior I am. Yeah, you look great there, Phil. By the way, do you ever get around to washing the beard, or is that something that you don't have to do? Okay.
He does look, well, there is something, there's a ruggedness about him, if you don't mind.
If you don't mind what?
Nothing.
So that's what's going on there with that Phil. Now, where's A&E in all of this? A&E is making so much money off this dumbass that what they've decided to do is they're going to give him as much rope as he can possibly use, and I guess they're going to wait for him to just hang himself with it, because I haven't heard A&E. A&E, I know, has made a couple of moves, but why don't they have people sitting in the interview room with this clown so that they can monitor what he is saying. Every single television network in history has conducted themselves thusly. If they've got an artist who's being interviewed, they always have somebody from the network sitting with that person so that he doesn't make a complete boob out of himself, if you'll pardon the expression, boob. God knows I wouldn't want to say anything that would offend anybody. All right, so tomorrow we'll talk about how white people actually invented the blues because they had it a lot worse than blacks. Dick Clark, so long.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.